Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Well, I'm good. I'm blessed to be here, man. Well, I'm so excited to preach this word. So will you grab your copy of God's word and turn to me to the book of Hosea? And we'll be in Hosea chapter 1. Verses 2 and 3. Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. If you got it, say yeah. If you don't, say hold up. We're going to wait for you then. Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It reads, "When the Lord first spoke to Hosea, he said this to him, 'Go and marry a promiscuous wife and have children of promiscuity. For the land is committing blatant acts of promiscuity by abandoning the Lord.'" Verse 3, "So he went and married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore a son." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy this morning. We pray that you be over this word. Holy Spirit, be our interpreter and our God. As I bring the word, let not my name shine, but your name shine, and you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. How many people in here have parents? That should be everybody. If you don't raise your hand, that's weird. Okay. Well, I have parents, and my parents are a little cuckoo. They look cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They look crazy. Look cray cray. My parents, man, they have this thing. What I call it is the case of the so loves. I mean, they just so love me. And I'm not trying to be prideful or arrogant. I'm just being real. They just so love me. I would be at like basketball games or soccer games, and I would be the only black kid at the soccer game, because you know black people don't play soccer unless you're African. And I would have the ball. I'm just being real, people. And my dad would come to the games, and my dad would be the only dad there, just be a whole bunch of nannies. But I remember this one time where I got in front of the pack and I got the ball and I start kicking the ball. And my dad, remember, he has the bad case of the so loves. And so he gets super excited when his son does stuff, and he kind of hops up and his eyes gets lighted up, and he looks at me and he kind of is knocking over nannies as I'm running with the ball. And he says, "Kick the ball, son." I accidentally kicked the ball and it rolls into the goal. And he says, "Go!" He takes his shirt off and runs around the indoor soccer arena. He's crazy. My father is crazy. He has the bad case of the soul loves. But in this text, we see God who just so loves us. He so loves us. Other than the crucifixion and Jesus coming to save us, some scholars tend to believe that this story may be the greatest expression of God's love in the Bible. So 750 years before Jesus would hit the planet and solve the sin problem, God's extraordinary, ridiculous, unimaginable love is displayed by a guy by the name of Hosea. Now, Hosea, he's a righteous man, he's a holy man, he's a prophet, he's a seer. And God gives Hosea the task one day. He says, "Hey, I want you to go marry a prostitute." Wait, wait, wait. Come again, God? Yeah, that's right. I want you to marry a prostitute. Hosea, I'm pretty sure, is like, "No, you... that's not what I hear God saying. I'm pretty sure he may mean a prophet or nice Israelite woman. He doesn't really mean a prostitute." But finally clarity comes and God says yes. So Hosea, he goes and he obeys, and he goes and he marries a prostitute. What's her name? Her name's Gomer. Like, bummer of a name, right? Like, obviously your parents did not love you. But her name is Gomer, man, and he marries her, and the relationship seems to be going well. They have a baby boy, then a baby girl, then another baby boy, and the relationship seems to be going well. Until one day, Hosea, he gets up, and it's a hot day in Israel, and he kind of wipes the sweat off of him, and he wakes up, but Gomer seems to be gone, so he's like, oh, man, I bet my woman in the kitchen cooking some breakfast for your boy. So he goes and into the kitchen and she's not there. And then he goes to the kids' room to check if she's there and she's not there. And goes to the bathrooms, the dining room, and she's gone. Gomer is nowhere to be found. Embarrassment is a must. Pretty sure he had some dark days. He's supposed to be a beacon of hope for Israel, and I can't even keep my wife at home. So I'm pretty sure Hosea had some dark nights and some dark days, but then he kind of gets back into the rhythm of things, and God comes to Hosea again as he's in his prayer time and he's worshiping Jesus. He comes to Hosea again and he says, all right, Hosea, here's the plan. I want you to go marry her again. What? This makes absolutely no sense. I'm a single dad with three kids, and you want me to go marry her again? I mean, let's ask ourselves the question today. What do you do when you obey God and it gets you in trouble? God, I thought I heard your voice. I thought I heard what you were saying. I listened to you. I did what you said. But for some reason, I'm in the midst of trouble. For some reason, my world just seems out of control. What do you do? Hosea is in this situation, and God comes to him again, and he says, I want you to go marry her again. So Hosea, he goes, and that's where we pick up the story in Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, then the Lord said to me, go again, show love to another woman who is loved by another man and is committing adulterous acts. Just as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to the gods of the raisin cakes and pagans. To give you a little history about this story, God wants Hosea to go marry a prostitute to show Israel their rebellion and how they're prostituting themselves to God. So God gives Hosea, who is a prophet, this task. And in this time, Israel is experiencing three things, because love is a major thing in Israel at this time. And they're experiencing extraordinary success and all these good things. And there's three primary positions that Israel has at this time. Number one, Israel believes love can be purchased. Israel at this time believes love can be purchased. Number two, Israel thinks that love is a pursuit of self-gratification. And number three, Israel believes that love can be fulfilled with inanimate objects, things. I was reading and studying this in the time of Hosea, and I said, man, this sounds eerily similar to how America is today. This word love has become so convoluted and so crazy, and we just say love you, and we don't mean it. And God is telling Israel, you think love is about things? You think love is about self? This is not love. So I will show my people what love really is. So Hosea, he takes his task and he has to go looking for his wife. I want you to realize something. Hosea has to go looking for his wife, where men of God should not be. You have to understand this. She's a prostitute, and so he has to go to that part of town, if you know what I mean, to look for his wife. Now, remember, Hosea, he's a righteous man. He's a holy man. He's a seer. He's one of the most famous people in all of Israel. And he has to go down to the red light district and find his wife. That's crazy. So he goes and he starts searching and looking for her. Hey, I don't know if you know, but have you seen my wife, Gomer? No, I haven't seen her. Well, have you seen my wife, Gomer? No. I wonder if he had to ask some guys. Hey, man, have you seen my wife? Oh, Gomer, your girl. Yeah, man, I didn't know that y'all was still. Oh, my bad, man. I didn't know y'all was still seeing each other. My fault. Yeah, I seen her a couple. Yeah, I understand that. But have you seen her? Yeah, I seen her a couple of days ago. Good luck with that. Yeah, thanks. So one day, what scholars tend to believe is that Hosea found his wife on a selling block. She's in the sex slave industry. Think about it. This is this man's wife. And he finds her on the selling block, and I'm pretty sure he has to ask someone in charge, hey, man, that's my wife. Listen, I don't care who she is to you. She's mine and she's for sale. Man, Hosea has some guts, man. So Hosea, he proceeds to pay for her. Turns out he pays 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley. 15 is the divine number in scripture, speaking of the divinity of God. 5 is the number of grace. The silver representing the divinity, the bushels of barley representing humanity. The gospel is right here if we look at it. And Hosea, he says, I'll pay whatever the price is. Wait a minute, Hosea. She's already yours. I know. But I'll pay whatever the price is. See, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But God came and he sent his son to die on a wooden torture tool so that me and you can be purchased and so that we may have life. Don't you know, people? We're already his, friend. We're already his. But he proceeds to pay for Gomer. Then Hosea, he renews his vows to Gomer. This is crazy. I don't know if you fully understand this, but imagine what this man had to go through, speaking to men and having to go find his wife. And then he ends up searching for and finding her, and he renews his vows. As a summary, he says, Gomer, you won't play the harlot. You won't be loved by another man. And I will do the same for you. Do we see the faithfulness? I haven't cheated. I haven't done anything. And even though you have, I'll still stay faithful. And then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Hosea, and he begins to prophesy to Israel. Man, what in the world is this? So let's ask ourselves the question today. Who is Hosea? Well, Hosea, he's our God. Well, who's Gomer? Me. Hosea, that's our God. Who's Gomer? Me. You. And Hosea is our God. Hosea means salvation. Gomer means completion. Nothing needs to be added when I meet my Hosea. Let's peep game really quick. Sorry. In other words, let's look into this a little bit. Sorry. When you go to a prostitute, just to keep it real, you don't really care what their name is. You don't care what their name is, what their background is, and what they're there for. You just want one thing. But Jesus, God, our Hosea, when he meets us, he says, look, I don't care about any of those other things because I gave them to you anyway. The only thing that I care about is your name. The only thing that I care about is your name. So when I am your Hosea and I'm salvation and I complete you, anything else doesn't matter. All those things you find identity in don't matter when you meet and you come face to face with Jesus. Nothing else matters. Jesus is our Hosea. And we're Gomer. So I got three points that I want to give you, and then I'll get out your way. But let's just really hone in and think about this. The grace, the love that God shows us on a day-to-day basis that sometimes we may can take for granted. But my first point is, don't abuse this grace and this love that God gives you. Don't abuse it. So many times we can abuse God's grace and use it as a license to sin. This is not a time where you say, hey, it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. Because when you came into this family that is called the Abraham's promise, Jesus, his blood, when you come into this thing, you don't get to do what you want to anymore. Yeah, we got free will and it's cool, but you don't get to act and do the same things that you used to anymore. Don't use this grace, don't use this love as a license to sin, because so many times we can be like Gomer and leave and God comes and gets us and we leave and we just say, well, God will forgive me, but who are you to say what God will do? Don't abuse God's grace and God's love. Romans 6:15 says this. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. 1 Peter 2:16 also says, it says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. You are now a slave to God, and you don't get to do what you want to do. Yes, there is freedom, there is joy, but do not use your freedom as a license to sin. Number two, don't keep this grace and this love to yourself. Don't keep this grace and this love to yourself. When Jesus is talking to the disciples, and we all, some of us probably know the Great Commission, one of the most famous things in the Bible, and Jesus commands his disciples, he says, go into all the earth. Preaching and teaching, and I'm just summarizing here and teaching them all these things that I have taught you. And what Jesus was essentially saying in this context was, hey, go spread this. Go spread my love story across the world. Go spread my love story across the world, because see, when you understand how much God loves you and you understand your Hosea and your salvation and how much he completes you, you can't help but love God. And when you love God, that love begins to pour over, and then you begin to love other people. And when you love other people, then you understand that there's only two ways to go. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And see, this road to get to heaven, man, It has some ups and downs and some curves and some spins and things that you probably didn't even think that you would have to go through. And I have the right directions to the right party. And so if you follow me and let me disciple you, then I can take you to the right place. Because on this road to hell, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to get there. Just live how you want to do and go with the flow of other people. Go with the flow of other people and you will find yourself in a position that you don't want to be in. But why would I keep this grace and this love to myself when I have the right instructions to get to the party? But see, here's the problem with American churches. We are so caught up with our status and who we are that we don't want to embarrass ourselves or put our reputation on the line for Christ. One pastor told me, and I think John was at the same conference, he says, you know what's wrong with the church? What? Well, homosexual. What do you mean by that? For some reason, we like our kind too much. And when we go to our Christian churches and our Christian small groups and we kind of stay inside these four walls of the church, we never go out and we never reproduce. We never reproduce. That's the sin, not reproducing and doing what God said in Genesis. So, So when Jesus is on the scene and when he tells his disciples, he's telling them, go into all the earth. You are now the disciple of Jesus. Go into all the earth. You are now salt and light to a creation that is hurting and dying and need Jesus. And you once was Gomer. Somebody had to give you this hope. Somebody had to give you this gospel in order for you to live eternally. Jesus wants us to go spread out into the world. We're supposed to be salt and light. If I have salt in my hands, what good is it if I go and put salt on more salt? What good is it? If I have salt in my hands, what good is it to put salt on more salt? I need to put that salt on a burger or something to what? To make it taste better. You got the salt in your hands to guide and direct somebody to make their lives better. If I have the main light on in my room or in my living room, why would I use a nightlight? Only time that I need my nightlight is when the lights are off. So when the lights are off, I can use the nightlight to guide and see my way through to the bathroom. You are a nightlight to this dying and hurting world. So they can see their way through to the truth, to Jesus Christ. So let's not put salt on salt or just keep this gospel and this love and this grace that God has given us in these four walls. But let's go out in our lives and preach the gospel, not only with our lives and how we act, but sometimes, guys, we have to use our words. Yes, some people, you're going to be the only Jesus that they see. But for some people, they're never going to see you and you got to speak something. So don't keep this love and grace to yourself. Number three, and I'm done. Be both lion and a lamb. Be a lion and a lamb. Be a lion in your theology, but a lamb in the way that you serve. Be a lion in the way that you worship, but be a lamb in the way that you communicate the gospel. See, here's the thing about this, man. Sometimes when we are spreading this gospel and doing this church thing, it's cool and we feel all sanctified and we're good. And sometimes what we can do is that we can be a lion in both situations. We can be a lion in here in church and we're really getting in and God's moving. But with those same jaws, we can tear up a gazelle. And we point fingers at people and say, oh, I'm holy, I'm righteous, I got it all together. You don't, get your life together. If they could get it together, they would have got it together. We point
fingers and we're never the lamb. We don't have to surrender what we believe in order to accept people. You remember Jesus? Jesus was both lion and lamb. When Jesus was in the temple, man, that joker right there, he would preach up a storm. Some of the best sermons, all the best sermons that have ever been written by Jesus. But when Jesus encountered people, he was a lamb. He understood that they were Gomers. You have to understand that you were once Gomers. You remember Jesus? Jesus was at the well and the lady comes up to him and he was like, girl, if you only knew, I got that living water. If you drink of this, you'll never thirst again. And she was like, oh my goodness, for real. You know, I ain't married, daddy, you know. And he was like, chill, boo, I'm the savior. I ain't even like that. Don't do that. He was both lion and lamb. He understood that he was the living water, but he didn't point fingers in his face. Oh, you've been with five men and the one you with now, you sleeping around with. Jesus didn't do that. He was both lion and lamb. Another incident that Jesus was in, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was with his boys, D12, represent. And then he found out it was D11 because Judas is coming in. Judas was like, hey, yo, where Jesus at? And this is how gangster God is. I don't know if y'all know, but Jesus was a G. In other words, he was very hard and he really did his job. Okay. He came up and Jesus was like, I am he. He said, I am he. And everybody and every Rome and every soldier that was in front of Jesus, the Bible says that they begin to tremble and fall. Just to give you a message today, when Jesus speaks, everything in front of him has to fall. And Jesus is like, yo, I can tear this whole thing up right now. I can get some angels to come yoke a brother up. Keep playing with me. But he says, no. Instead, I'm going to be a lamb and let you lock me up and I'm going to let you beat me so that one day Ryan Allen can get up here in front of Gateway Church and give the gospel. Be both lion and lamb, church. We got the medicine. There was a movie that came out. I don't know how in the world I got to watch it, but I watched it. But it was called Juice, and it had Tupac Shakur in it. Some of you may or may not know that. It's okay. He was a rapper. Really doesn't matter. But the movie was called Juice, and basically the whole story, the whole theme of it was having the juice. The only thing that the juice meant is that you had the respect and you had the information. And today you have the juice. You got the respect and the information for the world, and for some reason we won't pour it out and give it to people. For some reason, we won't give this world Jesus, man. And I'm not talking about particularly you and your, but the Christians in general, we're scared. And when we do give people the gospel, we point. And if we don't, we're just kind of quiet and timid. But I'm here to tell you today that you can be both lion and lamb. You can be bold in what you believe and serve people. So today, let's remember that God so loves you. He so loves you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. He can go two ways, man. He so loves you. He loves you a lot. But some of you may be here today and you're like, man, I don't think I can come to Jesus. And God is like, so? I don't think I can do this. And God is like, so? I'm still here. I'm still God. I will never change. I'll never leave you. He so loves you. 1 John 4:10 says, this is love, not that we love God first, but he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is the gospel. We all were once sinners, and we need Jesus. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, For some of us, we may just want Jesus, man. You may be here today and you're like, hey, I don't know this man named Jesus, but this crazy black dude been screaming at me about him, and I want to know. Now, we're going to have the prayer team up here, and they're going to pray for you. But for that instance, I really don't want you to move. I want you to stay in your seat if you know Jesus, because you can meet Jesus anywhere. You don't have to come to nobody and tell them your sin. You don't have to do anything. It's just a communication between you and God. And I'm not going to lead you in a prayer, because I don't know what your heart is. I don't know what you want to say. You can talk to God right where you are. I don't know what it is, but you can say what you want to him and him directly. And for some of us, we may want to be a better witness, or we may want to be a lion and a lamb, and you may want prayer. And for those people, our prayer team will be up here, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to ask God to give you boldness, and we're going to ask God to let you see other people for people and understand God's grace and God's love for them as well. That we all were once sinners and enemies to God, but thanks be to God that he sent his son so the blood would be shedded on the throne over our lives, so that we may have life, and life to the fullest and more abundantly. So after I pray, the prayer team will be up here, and Jonathan will sing another song, and we'll pray for you. So, Father God, we thank you for your presence moving in this place. We thank you for your anointing and power. But, Father, we also thank you for your word. And we're thankful that you speak through your word. And we're thankful that you love us and love us unconditionally. And so, Father, I pray that you would be with each and every one of us, helping us and opening up our eyes to see that we're all Gomers, and we need Jesus to come and set us free, because we all were captives. And we all need your grace and mercy every day. Not one of us is perfect, but you. So, Father, be with us today as we go throughout our day and as we show your love and grace to people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.